Go with me, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul said right here to the Corinthians, he said, "Brethren, I want to preach the gospel to you. And I say the same thing right now to the Kingsportians. Brethren, I want to preach the gospel to you." He said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and also you have received, and wherein you stand." He said, "I want to declare to you again." Again and again and again and again and again. Didn't he say this is the only thing that's safe? We can get off on all kinds of things. We can get so easily sidetracked on all kinds of things. We can become passionate on all kinds of things. But Paul said, this is the only thing that's safe. I'm going to preach to you again the gospel. The gospel. He said, that same gospel that I preached to you in the beginning. The one that you, by the Spirit of God, gladly received. He said, I preached it to you, you received it. And he said, you stand in it, and you stand on it, and you stand with it, and you do, don't you? We do. He said, I want to declare the gospel one more time. The gospel one more time. Our Lord commanded us to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is unto me. He said to the Galatians, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Boy, this flesh could so easily, if the Lord let the flesh run with itself just a little while, how quickly we would run into something, some other gospel. But Paul went on to tell them, there's not another one. There is not another one. There's only one. So Paul said, "Brethren, I'm not here to declare a gospel to you. I'm here to declare the gospel to you, the one and only gospel that there is." This is what the Scripture calls it. I was going to turn to all these, but it was a lot of them. I'll quote it to you. The Scripture calls it the gospel of God. Man has his own gospel. God's people prefer God's. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. Paul told him at Rome, he said, "I'm ready to preach it to you again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's called the gospel of the kingdom. I think about the entire kingdom. We have some brethren in the kingdom of God physically right now, gathered around the gospel. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It's called the gospel of grace. It's called the gospel of peace. Would you like some peace? It's out there in the world. All you got to do is turn on the news. No. Would you like some peace? It's right here. Here it is. 1 Timothy 1 calls it the glorious gospel. Revelation 14 calls it the everlasting gospel. And Ephesians 1 says it is the gospel of your salvation. Here it is, all right? Verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul said, "I want to declare to you again the gospel that I first preached to you, the only gospel that there is, concerning how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, I'd like for us to begin our declaration here, understanding this first. Many people, and this is the absolute truth, many people declare that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. But in the process of declaring that, they do not declare the gospel. And I'm going to repeat that. You go sit and listen to a man preach. Well, he preached Jesus. He preached. He died on the cross for our sins. Okay, a lot of people preach that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And in the process, they leave out the gospel. This right here is the first thing that we have to get a hold of. If we're going to declare the gospel, we need to understand this right here. That declaration is not just concerning the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Paul did not just say, "I'm going to declare to you that Christ died." This is what he said. He said, "I'm going to declare to you how Christ died." That's what he said. How Christ died. The gospel declaration is concerning how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Verse 3, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died." How Christ died. That's the gospel. That is the gospel of our salvation. That is the glorious gospel. That is the everlasting gospel. The gospel of peace, the gospel of God, how Christ died for the sins of his people. Now, understanding that, let's ask this question. How did Christ die? How did he die? If we can answer that question, we'll have declared the gospel. How did he die? How did Christ die? Verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Number one, Christ died according to the Scriptures. He died as the Scriptures said he would. He died in the way the Scriptures said he would. They said he would, and they told exactly how he would. He died because that's what the scriptures said the wages of sin was. That's what the scriptures said God demanded against the penalty and judgment of sin. That's what the scripture said. We're going to see this as we go all the way through the declaration, but turn with me over to Isaiah 42. Christ died according to the scriptures. He died as the scriptures said he would. This is God the Father speaking to Christ right here, speaking of Christ, concerning Christ. Isaiah 42, verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect." God the Father said, "I choose my son, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Now, this is one of my favorite lines in the scripture. "He shall not fail." I love that. "He shall not fail." And here's my second favorite line. "Nor be discouraged." Do you ever get discouraged? "Oh, it seems like all of my efforts are just..." Psst. No, he won't even get discouraged. "Till he have set judgment in the earth, and the islands shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I'll give you for a covenant to the people." What does he mean? A covenant of the people. A covenant for the people. Look at chapter 43, Isaiah 43, verse 14. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer." He means, "I promise my son to them, to give his life for them, to redeem them from all their sin. I promise that to them. I make a covenant to them concerning that." Christ died as the scriptures promised he would. The scriptures promised he would. And he died as the scriptures said he would. He also died in the way that the scriptures said he would. Look with me at Isaiah 53. Verse 7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Christ died according to the scriptures. All the Old Testament stories, all the pictures, all the types, all of it declared how Christ would die for the sin of his people. This is what he himself said. He said, "Moses wrote of me." It was all about me. That ark was Christ. I'm about to repeat something to you I've told you so many times. And it breaks my heart to think of how many people don't know this. That ark, we talk about Noah's ark. That ark was Christ. We call it Noah's ark, but I heard it this way one time. This is a much better way of saying it. That was God's ark that he put Noah in. And that ark was Christ. While the judgment beat down, the ark raised up and every soul in it. That rock was Christ. While the law, the rock of God and life flowed out. Rock was Christ. That lamb, oh, the innocence and the beauty. You picked the best one. You picked the spotless one of the first year. That lamb was Christ. That manna, at first, before their sin overtook them, don't you think they ran out there saying, oh, thank God for the bread that came down. That brazen serpent on the pole, that was Christ. He was made to be the very thing that was killing us. Killing us, killing us. There it is, exactly what was killing me, lifted up. Christ died according to the Scriptures. All right, turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, and as it is appointed, and there's a reason for that, as it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, and there's a reason for that. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins, and that's the reason. That's the reason it's appointed to man to die. And that's the reason there's a judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is appointed unto men once to die. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. How did Christ die? He died according to the law against sin. Romans 6, verse 25 says, the wages of sin is death. That's what the law demands. And God the Father laid all of the sin of all of his people on Christ his Son. Therefore, according to the law, Christ had to die. He had to die. People make this sad statement. It's a ridiculous statement, but they say this all the time, and I'm sure you've heard this. People say, if I had been alive back then, I would have stopped it. Well, as though God couldn't have stopped it. But if a person could have, if a person could have attempted to go back and stop it, this is what they would have attempted to do. They would have attempted to facilitate Christ breaking the law. I would have tried everything I could do to help him break the law. That's what they're saying. According to the law, God's law that God gave, Christ had to die. This is what he himself said. And I love this line. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? That's what he said on those to those two on the road to Emmaus. And they were so just heartbroken and sad. And he died. And he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? as the one who bore the sin when God looked at him and saw the sin of his people on his own son? Didn't the law that God had given say he had to die? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Did he not bear the sin? He most certainly did. Therefore, he was just. People think, well, why do God's elect get a free pass? They don't. Well, how come he can turn a blind eye to their sin? He didn't. He was just in justifying his people. So Christ died according to the scriptures, and Christ died according to the law. Now turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6, verse 38, it says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Christ died according to the will of God his Father. He said, "This is my Father's will." Why did Christ die? It's what the Father wanted. Isaiah 53 says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." From the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? You. Here's the reason why. It's because God the Father loved some sinful, wicked people in this world. And he chose to redeem them by giving the life of his own son as a payment for their sin. How did Christ die? He died according to the will of his Father. Amazing. We just sang "Amazing Grace." Along with his Father's will, Christ died according to his own will. Look with me at John 10. John 10, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Verse 30, he said, "I and my Father are one." Christ's will was not separate from his Father's will. He was not forced to give up his life. He willingly gave it up. He bowed his head. He bowed his own head and gave up the ghost. He died as the willing Savior. The cross was no surprise to him. None whatsoever. He said, "For this cause came I into the world." He willingly bore the shame and endured the cross for the joy set before him. So the good news of the gospel is not just in the fact that he died, but it's in how he died. He died according to the scriptures, according to the law, according to his Father's will, according to his own will. And look with me at John 11. Verse 47. "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.' And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. In this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad.'" He was saying, let's just go ahead and kill him, because it's more expedient that one man die instead of the rest of us. Having no idea that he prophesied the glorious gospel of substitution. Christ died as the substitute for his people. This is why he died. This is how he died. He died in the stead of. Totally in the stead of. He died so that his people wouldn't have to. He died to accomplish their death for him. And I hope we can all get a hold of this. When he died, he was not accomplishing his own death, although he was. He was accomplishing our death. Being joined to us. It's appointed unto us once to die. And after that, the judgment. And he accomplished it in himself. Joined together with us. When he said it was finished, it was all finished. Never will his people have to endure what he has already endured for them as their substitute. That's how he died. As the substitute of his people. He died according to mercy. That means he did not give to his people what they deserved, because he gave it to himself instead. He died according to grace, taking no price from them for what he did. Free gift. Here's the last one we'll mention this morning. John 15. This is a glorious verse. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." How did he die? He died as the friend of sinners. That's how he died. He died bearing our sin, suffering the judgment for that sin. He was buried bringing those very sins that he paid for to a place that they could never return from. And he was raised again to prove that those sins were put away forever. Had they not been put away, the Father would have never raised him back up. In his resurrection, he proved that all of the sins of his people were gone forever. He died as the satisfactory, victorious, accomplishing Savior. That's the gospel. That is the glorious news of redemption. Not in just the fact that he died, but how Christ died for our sins. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? Once more to hear it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner saved by the grace of God. All right, let's all stand together.